It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
All right, let's begin hour two with another call. Another Rockets call. Game one tomorrow night in Los Angeles. We believe that's Rob. We were having some phone issues, so it was a little unclear, so we're going to go with Rob. If your name sounds anything like Rob, now's your time. What's up?
Yes, which one of Kevin Durant's whole team would he rather face in the second round?
Well, I guess you're saying if the Suns were to upset the Thunder. I think,
or the Warriors.
Or the Warriors. Suns. It's actually three at this point.
The Nets actually is the
I'd choice
love to play the Nets.
Well, Rob, there's three choices and they're all in the mix. We'll see what happens tonight.
Not the Thunder.
I don't think he would rather face the Thunder, but they are on the board. Would it be so, Sean? Rob asked me. I'll ask you, and then I'll give my answer. Of the three teams actually eligible, because the Nets are as likely as the Texas Longhorns, Thunder, Suns, or Warriors? Who would he most like to see in the second round?
Okay.
While we're assuming the Rockets will get through the Lakers.
I'm not taking this as like a basketball, like, because obviously, like, you don't want to play the Thunder. I'm taking it more as for personal reasons for Kevin Durant. Who does he still have the most animus for? Maybe it's because it's the freshest wound. Kind of think it's the Suns.
He did seem to enjoy beating the Suns this year quite a bit. He talked quite a bit about going back there, has fun with that win.
Yeah, I think, did he call, like, after the game winner, he hit January, December range. He played it off in the post-game press conference. Just like, yeah, just excited. It was a game winner. Always excited for a game winner. And then, like, I think the next time they played the Suns, or maybe it was in March, he brought up hitting the game winner against Phoenix as like one of his favorite moments of the season.
Because remember, the Rockets were down big in that game.
Yeah, they're down big. They come back
and win the game. And yeah, he did not appreciate how the final moments of his time there ended. I think the Suns. He thought he was going to be there for the rest of his career. And then they were trying to trade him because they could not trade Bradley Beal. And they thought, hey, Jimmy Butler here would be better than Kevin Durant since we were desperate to make a move. Turns out Jimmy Butler is a Warrior after Kevin Durant said he didn't want to be a Warrior as part of the trade discussions. And now he's a Rocket. I would agree. I believe he doesn't want much to do with the Warriors conversation. It's now long ago, and they, despite his real impact on them winning a couple titles, being the two-time finals MVP, those are still looked at as Steph's titles. And despite what he might say, it does feel like that one bothers him a bit, that I was great there and I'm remembered as the guy who helped Steph win titles when I was the best player on that
finals
team.
MVP. He was MVP. He was the best player on those teams.
Yeah. And yet, it's still, and it'll always be in rightfully so.
No, it's always Steph's
team.
Yeah.
So I think that Warrior stuff he would perhaps not even want to deal with for seven games if it went that long, in a world where the Warriors are actually a good team. In this case, I think the Suns would be the one he would enjoy beating the most if the Suns did the miraculous and beat the Thunder in the series. Thanks for the call, Rob. Based off Kevin Durant's level of petty or just level of, as you say, animus. Unanimously, this show says the Suns.
Yeah. It's always tough. No one tell Kevin Durant that we tried to
speak for him?
Speak for him or get inside his brain.
I was asked a question, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I talk for a living. I can't go, well, you know what, Rob? I don't know. I'm not Kevin Durant. Yeah. That's not
for
us.
I'm not Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Know what, Rob? Text Kevin Durant. Tweet at him. Or tweet, get off Mike Dickerson. Whoever will respond first. Yeah.
Might be the Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get to Keith here. Oh, well, maybe. Does Keith want to hold on or does he want to get on before? We got to go to break anyway. We were way behind. So we can ask Keith.
Oh, no. We don't have to go to break. Our next break's at 27.
Oh, you've combined.
Yeah.
Well, now I got to go to Keith. Unless Keith tells us he wants to hold on for Michael.
Keith, tell us if you want to save this for Michael Carroll.
Yeah. And then we can put you back on hold. What's up, Keith?
Yeah, I can go right now.
Okay.
I'm fine. Chill Sports Night last night. Just wanted to see if you guys watched the Pitt season 2 finale. I don't know if you guys are big fans of the Pitt, but it's got to be the best show on TV. Also, a few days back, DTS St. Louis wrapped up, but two great shows. And, I'm all caught up on Your Friends and Neighbors. That's rolling season 2 really good as well. Thanks.
I have not watched much of the Pitt this season. I decided once I got so far behind that I'm just going to pack it into a weekend and watch as many as I can. So I don't know anything beyond like the start of episode 2. So I see things pop up from here and there. I know one of the main cast members is no longer going to be a part of the show, and it's been explained by, hey, this is kind of how a hospital works, and she's at a certain point in her time, the character is, that she wouldn't be around.
Yeah.
So that's the explanation. And I think it's normally isn't like every season is like a year after the first or some, or 6 months to a year.
They're playing around with it a little bit.
So.
Yeah. So like the first one, I'm not sure. I think the first one was like, I actually forgot where the first one was supposed to happen, but this one was 4th of July. And then, Noah Wiley said that the next one might be around Christmas.
Okay.
So it'll be like a 6 month.
So wide enough gap for us to have character development explain us throughout this shift, and that's kind of the setup for the show. And also people depart hospitals.
And there for enough for there to be like change happening
enough change
off screen basically.
Exactly. So we get those expo dumps about what's going on in the last 6 months. And they do it cleverly enough that it doesn't seem overbearing. So
it's a good show. It's really good. I watched the finale last night. It was really good. It's very much a show that's like, we know we have season 3. Like, we know we have season 3 to leave, like, some of this stuff open. Like, there's not any, like, you know, huge conclusions. Even, like, the doctor that's the actress is leaving the show. Like, if you only watched the show, you'd be like, maybe she's leaving, but maybe you see her in season 3. And it's like, no, because get the updates. It's like, no, I know she's not. I know she is going to pursue another medical field. So, oh well.
Yeah. Supriya Ganesh is the actress's name. You would know her as Dr. Mohan.
Yeah. Dr. Mohan.
Mohan.
Won't spoil it, but Vaya con Dios.
Yeah. Well, we just spoiled it. Or was the lead up already
there? Well, I'm not going to spoil where, you know, what medical field she went into.
Yeah. From what I could tell from the chatter, there was one, I think it was her character's name that no one could say right except for like one person. Like there's like no one's acknowledging that she's not acknowledging that it's been said wrong, but there's one character who is saying it the way it's supposed to be said. And everyone else is saying it, you know, in the more Americanized way, because some of us don't particularly care about pronouncing other people's names right. But she is departing. We'll see the actress and what she does going forward. He mentioned My Friends and Neighbors. I still need to get caught up in that. It's only been a couple episodes. So I enjoyed episode 1. I'm in the middle of episode 2. I just got distracted and didn't get back to it. I did see the season finale of DTF St. Louis. I would imagine the series finale. I'm not sure where that series goes from there. And it was an ending where I would say it was fulfilling. I mean, it was kind of a murder mystery, but not really. That wasn't really the crux of the show. That was driving the narrative so we could find out about all these people. There's a lot about male sadness. Turns out every male character except for like the detective in the show, the main male character, is all sad guys. The kid is sad. Jason Bateman is sad. David Harbour is sad. They're all in that Mark Ruffalo realm.
Yeah, I was going to say, they need DTF Philadelphia.
But
so
in this
Mark
case,
Ruffalo can get in there, be sad.
But Ruffalo's just a normal sad because, you know, his wife died.
Yeah, yeah.
And his adopted son
killed their wife.
And his adopted son's in prison for it.
Yeah, although, hasn't talked to him.
We'll see what happens as it has been confirmed, I believe, a season two is coming. So we'll see if the son remains in prison. But this one is like just they're all oddball, creepy, and sad. If you want to call it creepy, just oddball and sad, as opposed to, oh, I get why this guy's sad.
Yeah. It's just this generally. Just
that's
like
a traditional. Okay,
David Harbour's bummed out.
Yeah, he's bummed out for reasons. And there is like a through line of the show. Like he had a penis injury, and he would always get to the cusp of telling the story of how it happened, and then he would never tell. That was just part of the bit of the show, and so we assume that it's this exotic thing because it's all this lead up and he never gets to it. Turns out he made his stepson's mom upset, so he came into the room and hit him with a bat. And that's how he had the penis injury.
It's not quite Heath Ledger. You want to know how he got these scars.
Nope.
Not quite.
The kid has some behavioral issues, as you might tell by that story I just told. And he saw his mom cry and go, oh, you made my mom cry? Okay. And I'm going to make you cry.
God. So I hope that guy figures it out.
The kid?
No, David Harbour.
Watch the show. All right, that's all I'll say. All right, we'll go to break with that. Michael Carroll joins us when we come back. So if you want to be like Keith and get a movie question in, but you want to talk to the expert about it, you can do that. 713-780-3776. Although Keith was more focused on television, you can do that too. The host of Comicast when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend. With Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some news for some of you people who remember the early 2000s and baseball. Garrett Anderson, former Angel, passes away. He passed away at 53 years old. He was part of the one Angels World Series team. There was a time when the Angels actually were not considered a joke. It was him and Troy Gloss, Troy Percival, way back when, early aughts, and they won a World Series. I was telling Michael, I was in California at the time, and if we remember the Angels uniform progression, there was a time where they had a uniform where the A had wings. It was very Disney inspired. We know about the movie Angels in the Outfield, but it was of the time, those uniforms. Garrett Anderson wore those uniforms. It had periwinkle blue as a color.
Periwinkle blue.
That's what they called like the accent blue. It's like this light blue. They called it periwinkle blue. And they switched to the uniforms they still have today, the red and white ones that we know as, hey, we're going to beat this team tonight. Those are the Angels.
Is that Albert Pujols?
Yeah, those. Yeah. Mike Trout, look at you. Still, they've had those uniforms for now 24 years or so now. Garrett Anderson on uniform unveil day said, hey, look, we look like a real baseball team again. These are real baseball uniforms. And I think they went on to win the World Series either the following season after getting the uniforms or shortly thereafter. So Garrett Anderson passes away at 53 years old. It was called a medical emergency. I'm sure more news will come out as we move forward. So that's some sad news if you were a lover of baseball during that time period. Michael Carroll's here.
Hello.
Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast. You can hear Comicast right here on ESPN 975. 975. Also, you can hear it in podcast form wherever you listen to podcasts. The most recent episode, or issue, excuse me, is issue 642. It's all on Daredevil episode 5, season 2, called The Grand Design. So if you're looking for a more in-depth breakdown of what's happening on Daredevil, just go to Comicast. They're breaking down every episode. Him and John do that. They do that well. So
We try our best.
They started with episode 1 of this new season, and they've gone through episode 5. So if you watch Daredevil and then want to hear people talk about it in a way that you will enjoy, Comicast is the place for you.
I mean, at least I hope so. At least that's what I hope people think that, because
I feel like I would often get a, y'all could have done it this way.
It happens. It's part of the game. Part of what you sign up for.
That's true.
But they've done this for 642 issues. Not Daredevil. But just doing the thing that they do for a bit. That is a testament to your willingness to kind of just show up every time. Because sometimes that's tough.
You know, there's a lot of discussion about load management with NBA players and whatnot.
All 82 for Michael
All
every 82 year.
82 for Jong and I.
Yeah.
You know, Jong gets sick
35
every now and then.
Minutes a
yeah,
night.
I was yeah, say, but we're Jong.
He'll miss a few ones.
Oh, you've got a kid to take care of.
Oh, yeah. I got a sinus infection.
Luca. Luca had to leave to see for the birth of his children.
Yeah. Jong can petition to be eligible.
But we haven't requested any trades to any other podcasts. We are a homegrown team. Mm. You know?
Ethical the way they do things. Yeah,
we do. Ethical. We
Some
try.
Podcasts still do it the right way.
Yeah, we're not out here trying to take some extra juice under the table or anything like
planting
that.
Planting some trees.
Planting some, yeah, exactly. We're
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, not there are different ways to take that.
Yeah.
That's a Kawhi reference, people.
There you go. I was not prepared for that reference, but yes, exactly. We're not circumventing any cap.
No.
Also cuz we have no cap.
Now it would be funny if after you say that it's like tomorrow on the show, Kevin Feige stops by and talk about all the exciting things.
We're not that popular. We're
working. We're not there yet.
I will say, in kind of a preview for next week, we are going to have two issues next week because, there's been a lot of news coming out with CinemaCon happening in Las Vegas, I believe. And we have Vanessa Shark of Big Gold Belt Media. She's been out there. Attended the Sony Pictures panel, Walt Disney panel, Paramount, all the different panels. She's had a chance to check out a lot of the footage that was shown, so we're going to get her insight on that next week on Comic-Cast.
And
so,
then Robert Downey Jr. on the other show, or
we'll
see what the schedule.
We'll see what the schedule is. His people are supposed to get back with our people, so you know,
Jong might be the one that's unavailable for that one.
Maybe
he's the busy one when you got to book in advance.
Well, you know exactly. I'm the lonely one. I have no family or anything. I'm fine.
It's a lot being revealed that I did not expect.
Daredevil, huh? What'd you think?
Well,
I'm not sad inside. I was stating facts.
If you want a full-on review without the nonsense of this show polluting it, go to everywhere or anywhere you listen to podcasts and find Comic-Cast, a full-on breakdown of Daredevil. Most recent episode, episode 5 of season 2.
It's true.
So, I would say it was a bit of a big week for trailers. We saw a full trailer for the one I'm most excited about. I love the movie. Now I get hopefully a prestige series, Man on Fire.
Oh.
Man on Fire.
I thought you were going to say Street Fighter.
I did see the tile for Street Fighter. I have not clicked on it yet.
It's definitely the game. It's 100% the game.
I did see the thumbnail. It looks game specific.
Oh, yeah.
True to the game.
They leaned into it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Man on Fire, that trailer looks... I have come to the thought, especially after watching that trailer, if Yahya Abdul-Mateen II's in it, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm about to wrap up. I'm maybe an episode away from wrapping up on Wonder Man, and so far, that's good stuff.
Very good.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen's got it going, and he is playing the playing the Crazy, John Crazy role. Mm-hmm. You remember that Denzel Washington portrayed that character along with Dakota Fanning. No, it wasn't. They didn't go from young to old.
No, yeah, no.
Dakota Fanning didn't play young John Crazy.
No.
Just saying, they're both. It'd be great if they did.
I like that clarification.
Yeah, but they're both in the movie. In this one, the woman, or I guess you would call her a girl, but she's actually a woman. I was looking up. You look a little. You're older than what Dakota Fanning was.
Yeah,
the woman, the actor, is 21 years old. I don't know how old she'll be playing in the series. So I wasn't sure until I saw this. I was like, there's a lot going on in this trailer. This feels like a series. It is a series. Man on Fire will get a series, and Yahya Abdul-Mateen will play the star of that. So I'm excited about that. There's something that popped up with Jacob Elordi. It's called The Dog Stars. He's everywhere, not promoting Euphoria Season 3, which seems to be the case for most, because Zendaya is everywhere for the drama.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her talk about Euphoria very much.
I don't think anybody wants to talk about it.
Well, I know. The people talking most about Euphoria are the former stars of Euphoria, yeah, talking about Euphoria, who aren't even in season three.
One of my friends was texting me about Euphoria, like, are you watching it? And I was like, no. And they were like, I think it's Sam Levinson that does that, yes, series. They're like, somebody needs to call FBI on this man because of whatever he's doing.
When they showed the trailer and the star, because of the imagery, was Sydney Sweeney, and we talked about it earlier how she's at least from the trailer seemingly a sex worker, and I saw a lot of, arrest him.
Yeah, arrest
what
him.
Are we doing here?
Yeah,
why is that image in the trailer? Yeah, so I haven't watched it. I don't really have any interest in watching it.
Well, and reviews are coming in that are
thumb down.
No, it's thumbs down. Not a Rocky thumbs down. Just a straight up thumbs down.
Okay. Not
just,
Commodus.
Not Commodus.
Thinking about it.
Just yeah, no, hard pass.
Okay, so that's why Zendaya is not on Hot Ones.
Yeah, you know, nah. That's why it's more
instead of hot wings. It's little balloons of. The drugs that she has.
Yeah, I heard about that. People were disgusted.
Yeah,
by that.
Seems tough.
Yeah, well, you know, she's hanging out with Rob Pattinson promoting the drama. Seems like a good time. Yeah,
yes, you get to be in Spider-Man and in the drama and in Dune.
In Dune, yeah.
But for some reason, you still have to do the show where we're making you. How much would have cost drugs?
How much would it have cost? That's better.
To breach your contract?
Yeah, to pay to get out of that final season.
I don't know.
Had to have been worth it. It had to have been.
Right?
There's no way. Like, they must have really, like, tugged on the heartstrings of, like, you know, maybe she really likes some of her cast members.
Possibly.
And they like, guilted her into, like, you have to finish the story, you know?
Like, if you're the, is her name Cassie? Which one's the one who, I forgot, I don't know the character's name. Not
Sydney Sweeney?
Not Sydney Sweeney,
the other one.
Alexa Demi, Maddie. Like Maddie, who doesn't really want to act anymore. She doesn't like the way Hollywood treated her. She goes, I got one more in me. Come on, Zendaya, please.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's what it is. Like,
please.
Don't let me down. They're not going to make it with just Alexa Demi, a guy who.
And the
Three people. Three people.
I couldn't remember
her
name. And Mod Apatow. Yeah, her and Mod Apatow. I don't know if they're selling a season without Zendaya.
No. Alordi definitely feels like I have to be here.
Yeah,
he feels like the one who's like, man.
I
was Frankenstein, dude.
I
was Elvis.
I was Elvis.
Yeah, I don't know about that season three, but I will say I am excited for The Pit season three when that comes out. I know y'all were referencing The Pit earlier.
Yeah,
I just want to say, well done season, incredible. I've caught up on it. I've watched the finale last night. Incredible. It's a credible show. Best
You've
show
seen it as well.
Yes.
Right? I'm the one who was way behind. So I got to get to that.
Yeah, you got to catch up on it. It's very, very good.
The appropriate amount of karaoke in the season finale.
Yes.
Appropriate amount.
That's a little tease to get me there.
There you go.
Let's get to Eric, and then we'll get to some recommendations or maybe things you shouldn't watch. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I heard that the new Transformers movie is going to be directed by Michael Bay again at Paramount. Also, I heard there's going to be a World Z 2 with Brad Pitt coming out as well. And how come they never made a Game Night 2? Game Night 1 was a fantastic film. It's one of Dale and I's favorite films.
Oh, you're speaking
for me. Have you heard anything good about, anything about Passengers? It looks pretty good. And the trailer for Street Fighter does look good. The first one didn't look so good. The second one that came out yesterday, looks pretty good. I'll hang up and listen.
So he started with Michael Bay's Transformers.
Yes, there is another Michael Bay Transformers movie. I don't know where it is in the process. No, don't be excited for that, Sean. don't be excited for that. I don't know, man.
Bring back the old cast?
No, don't bring back the racist robots either.
Well, no. I meant...
Not the jive-talking robots.
Just saying.
Shia LaBeouf. Someone Shia less LaBeouf. Problematic than the racist robots.
If you lined them up, most problematic things in Transformers.
Shia LaBeouf, not number one.
Josh Duhamel's making a run for it as well.
Yeah. The fact that you can make a list makes me think, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe leave it alone.
Maybe leave it alone.
Tyrese, squeaky clean.
Yeah. I mean, if you could just go through the list of people who were in the original, like, man, Michael Bay knew how to pick them.
Yeah.
And the one who fired.
John Turturro?
And the one he got rid of. Basically, down to zero.
He's probably
mint. Not even going to. Yeah. And the one he got rid of, like Megan Fox, like, hey, looking back, no problems here. Yeah, no. The Machine Gun Kelly thing, the Brian Austin Green, yeah, whatever. But
not how I would live my life.
Yeah, but still, no real problems from her, from what I remember.
No, but yeah, that we'll see where that is in the process. I know they're like trying to get that on the off the ground, and of course tie it in maybe with G.I. Joe. I don't know if. Yeah, it's a whole thing. I don't know if they're the same. Yeah,
he said, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Well, they tried it in the last one.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Yeah, they did.
They're called Decepticons.
Right. I don't know if they're going to be, like, if it's two separate projects, like if Michael Bay's only Transformers and the other one is a mix or whatever the case that is. But Paramount's trying to do, like, 30 movies a year, so we'll see what happens with that. World War Z did get announced.
Can't believe that one got confirmed before another Live, Die, Repeat. Which is the original title.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, how did that one get confirmed before?
I have no idea.
Day After. What's it called again?
Edge of Tomorrow.
After Tomorrow is a different one.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow. That one, we're still waiting on. World War Z finally gets his confirmation.
Yeah, World War Z, I didn't know about the Brad Pitt part. I had to confirm about that. But there is a follow-up that was announced at CinemaCon. Game Night, it is very good.
It is very good. Rachel McAdams, one of the greats.
I think it's one of those things where comedies, it depends on the comedy getting a sequel. Like, even though it was good, I don't know the box office returns for it. And comedy, you got to hit, like, mega like millions in a sense, especially if it's a theater
release. According to Wiki, $37 million the budget, nearly $118 million the box office.
That's good enough. Yeah.
That's a hit. But we're talking now 8 years later.
Jason Bateman's in 8 TV shows a year, too.
Yeah. and then Passengers, yeah, that's a new horror film that's coming out.
I saw the trailer, and it's sufficiently, like, I am usually unbothered by these because I've seen so many. That one got us. Oof.
Yeah.
This one might be a little much for me.
That one was a lot. But yeah, that one, we were talking about it at I had a screening for The Mummy this week, and I'll talk about that here in a little while. But that one was one that stuck out to a lot of people this week. So yeah, look forward to that for a horror film.
And that is coming up. In a little over a month, May 22nd, looks like it'll be in theaters.
Yes, relatively soon.
So let's go to break here. Michael's got more to get to. We'll get to that when we come back. If you want to get in before we wrap it up for the week, 713-780-3776. When we get back, that was the Comicast to get into movies and television you might want to see. We'll do that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We're back, Sean Mapes, Michael Carroll, and myself as we close out the week. Michael, you said you got to watch The Mummy.
Yeah, I got to see Lee Cronin's The Mummy this past Wednesday. That's one of the big releases opening this weekend in theaters. If you want, are you a fan, and you, Sean, as well, are y'all fans of Evil Dead?
It's fine. I mean, I'm not searching it out, but if it pops up on, like, HBO Max, I like the newest one that came out, I'll give it a look, but I'm not a giant
fan. Is that any sort of style of horror you like?
The horror.
In terms of just bloody, gory, disgusting?
It's not really my thing.
No. Then The Mummy may not be for you.
Okay.
Because it is gross. It is very, very gross and disgusting. But, like, in those good horror ways that I think a lot of fans.
Well, Lee Cronin did direct the most recent The Evil Dead.
He did. And I think he was, like, left part. We were talking about that the other day, how he left part of the project or something like that to do this. And the vibes are strong with Lee Cronin's The Mummy. Of course, this is about a young daughter of a journalist who disappears into the desert without a trace. 8 years later, the family is able to get her back. But, of course, she's not like...
She's not like she was when she left.
No,
right?
She's not. It's good for the gross-out horror. If folks are... I know a lot of people are into that. 77% with audiences right now. Mixed reviews with critics. For me, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. I thought it did what it was supposed to do in terms of that grotesque, foreboding, atmospheric horror. I think where it struggles is with some of the characters, especially the third act. It gets a little long in the tooth. The 2 hour and 13 minute runtime, you start to feel. The mom character is underwritten, but and some of the visual effects, the practical effects, like when they're like skin peeling and whatnot, it's very like well done. Visual effects of like I'm walking through a sandstorm and it is not affecting me whatsoever. Not great. Also, coyotes kind of added in after the fact.
Got it.
Like things like that don't work really well. And then, of course, I mean, it's a horror movie, so people are going to do stupid stuff. I was like, whatever, it's fine. But they do kind of do some things that make you go, I don't know. But I think the ride, especially for horror fans and especially fans for Evil Dead or The Exorcist, are going to enjoy this one this weekend with Lee Cronin's The Mummy. It's a crowd pleaser for sure. The crowd that we watched it with really enjoyed it.
I'll wait for it on HBO Max.
Yeah,
seems like something I would tune into on a Saturday. Okay, that was fun.
I was talking to Brian McDonald yesterday too about it, and he was like, when he was hearing me, like, there's a scene I don't want to say it on air. It's disgusting, but there's a scene that I was like, if you can handle this, you may want to see it. And he was like, no, I'll just wait for it, because it is a lot of, oh God, and then make you like cover your eyes sort of thing.
You hear The Mummy and you go, huh, I don't hear anything about Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called Lee Cronin's Mummy, because exactly. At some point, it is in pre-production, you will see Rick O'Connell back in that The Mummy's movie series that we remember with Rachel Weisz and others. So that is coming down in about maybe 2028. So we get Lee Cronin's Mummy to try to not confuse you. It's also different from Tom Cruise's The Mummy that didn't
very different.
That didn't get, what was it, the Dark Universe. The Dark Universe off the ground. In fact, it crashed the Dark Universe before it could get off the ground.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there another Dark Universe movie?
No. They were planning on it, but this one was supposed to, hey, you got Tom Cruise, that's supposed to be the jump off.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
They did the group photo and everything.
In my head, I'm like, Russell Crowe, was there another one that I'm forgetting?
Yeah, no. Russell Crowe was playing Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He makes an appearance in that movie. It just didn't work out.
Javier Bardem was supposed to be the werewolf or something like that.
Now, they've made movies about those creatures, but not in a connected universe because Tom Cruise could never do what Rick O'Connell could do.
No.
In that case, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one when that comes out.
And make sure Rachel Weisz is in it is all I'm saying.
She's in it.
The brother's in it.
The brother's
John
in
Hanna's
it.
In it.
Yeah, so it, I'm excited for that one when that comes out. And that's definitely less scary than The Mummy. Lee Cronin's The Mummy that's out this weekend. So that's one of the big releases for the weekend. There's also Normal, which I'm actually seeing tonight. That's the new Bob Odenkirk movie, which kind of gives me like Nobody vibes, because he plays a sheriff of a little small American Midwestern American town called Normal. And it's supposed to be a chill spot. And of course, things start happening, botched bank robbery, and he gets into action. Very similar in a sense to Nobody.
Considering the setting, you're thinking some Fargo type vibes too.
It does have some Fargo vibes, and I think you're right on that. And from people that have seen it, they've described it as having some strong Fargo vibes. But it is a bit funnier than people expect. Getting solid reviews, 77% right now on Rotten Tomatoes with critics. So I'm looking forward to that one. I always like a good Bob Odenkirk action movie at this point.
And if you want to see Cersei not playing Cersei, Lena Headey's in it as well in Normal. So anything else theater-wise that people could take a look at?
You want a bad one? Or
sure. Tell people what not to go see. Or it might entice Sean to go see it.
I don't know. I've never heard of... I didn't know there's two of these movies. I don't know if you'll be able to see it because it's very limited, but there's a movie starring Jackie Chan as himself.
Okay.
Called Panda Plan 2, The Magic Tribe.
So they've made one already.
They've made one in 2024, apparently. It's Jackie Chan trying to save a CGI panda. Hmm.
So he is Jackie Chan playing himself.
It's Jackie Chan playing himself.
Saving it. So what happened in Panda Plan 1? The panda wasn't saved?
I think it was kind of the same thing. Him saving the CGI panda.
So I go to...
Panda Hoo Hoo.
I don't see it listed anywhere.
Exactly. I don't
know. It's not on his IMDb.
It's very, very like... I saw the trailer, though, and I was just like,
a documentary?
Are we sure? No, I got it right in front of me. Panda Plan 1, Jackie Chan, 2024. It's him surrounded by pandas.
Pandas, yeah.
And now Panda Plan 2. Yeah. Is it straight to Tubi?
No, it's in theaters somehow, some way.
Yep, okay. Here it is.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan looks remarkably younger in the fake stills for it than he does in the actual thumbnails. So there's that.
It's
the magical seat.
Or not Chris Rock, Chris Tucker?
No. It's called Panda Plan 2, the Magical Tribe. You actually have to search it on IMDb by name, because if you just search it by Jackie Chan, it doesn't pop up on his IMDb resume.
Because
he wants to be...
keep it as quiet as possible.
Quiet as possible, but yeah, that's out there.
That's his euphoria? Yeah,
maybe.
You just got to see the trailer for that one. But that's out in theaters, very limited release. Not good, but if you want to see that. Now, going to streaming... Of course, there's new releases, but I do want to highlight something that I actually missed when it initially came out that I want to catch, and that's a movie called Dust Bunny with Mads Mikkelsen and Sigourney Weaver. I forget who else. I feel like there's somebody else in there. But Dust Bunny is on HBO Max today, 85% with critics, 82% with audiences. A 10-year-old girl has a mysterious neighbor, Mads Mikkelsen, who kills real-life monsters. He's a hitman for hire, and she needs help killing the monsters she believes ate her family.
So people hire him to kill real-life monsters.
Yeah, a.k.a. he's a hitman.
Got it.
But she needs him to kill the suspected monster that has taken her family, suspecting that her parents may have fallen victim to assassins gunning for him. He takes responsibility and takes on the job, but it's a wild, like,
so what do you mean real life monsters? You're talking about like monstrous people or actual monsters,
like human traffickers?
That's kind of the tease about the trailer.
I watch this on The Witcher all the time. That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, it's kind of playing, like, if you watch the trailer too, it's a trippy, like, trailer. Okay. It looks really good.
So it's either like vampires, goblins, ghouls, or like,
because that's what
the guys from Taken,
that's what it makes it look like, especially for the girl's perspective. Like, it's like, oh, monsters took her, but he's like, it's just people that are really bad people. So he's after them. It plays with the visuals are different, but it looks cool. I would highly recommend that one this weekend. Beef Season 2. I don't know if y'all are fans of Beef, but Beef Season 2 is out there.
Series on Netflix. Okay.
Series on Netflix.
Carey Mulligan's in that one.
Oscar Isaac. Yeah. Kaylee Spaney. Henry Melton. I think that's his name. But
That is a guy.
That is a guy. Also could be a football player. I don't remember.
That's Jacob. He's a baseball player.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Henry Melton is a former Longhorn.
Yeah,
too.
Former Longhorn. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's out there on Netflix. And from Season 4... premieres Sunday at 8 Central Time.
That's one of our callers' favorite shows. At least he wants it to be. He's not sure if it'll ever be. Julian loves or kind of loves From. I like that show. I'm going to watch it this week.
Yeah, that's out there. A friend of the podcast, Andrew Cruz of the Cruising Podcast, is a big fan. He's looking forward to it as well. I haven't seen it, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. And 100% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's great, because I like the first three seasons.
There you go.
There we go, Michael. Thank you for joining us. He is the host of Comicast. Listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts. He does that with Jong Lee when Jong Lee's available, not load managing.
Yeah.
You can also listen to it here on Wednesdays. We got Sean Mapes. He's the host of Rocket Power. That might have already premiered on YouTube. It does happen when this show begins. I've taken issue with that, but hey, can't fight the man, which is Joe George, I think. We're done for the day. Thank you to Michael. I can't fight a guy. Joe's pretty nice. Listen to Michael, as I said, on Comicast when you can, or where you can on podcasts.
Please do.
Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Flip me over, Mike.
You got it, John. I'll need him to flip over on Monday.
Do you want to save?
Yeah, I'll save.
I mean, there's music underneath, so it might not be great. But hey, Michael, we're going to need that clean. We're going to need you to record that.
No problem.
Later. All right, guys. Rockets game one tomorrow. We'll certainly talk about it on Monday. We'll talk to you on Monday. Rockets, Lakers.
ESPN 97.5.